Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Chet Babla. He is Indy Semiconductor Senior Vice President of Strategic Marketing, responsible for expanding the company's Tier 1 and automotive OEM customer base, as well as supporting product roadmap development. Chet has worked in the technology industry for over 25 years in a variety of technical and commercial roles. Starting his career as an analog chip designer, he was most recently at ARM, or Vice President of ARM's automotive line of business, where he led it team focused on delivering the processing technology required for automotive applications such as powertrain, digital cockpit, ADAS, and autonomous driving. Prior to ARM, Chet has held multiple senior roles in the semiconductor industry and has also advised the UK government on its ICT trade and investment strategy. Welcome to the podcast, Chet.
Thank you, Daniel. Great to be here.
So the first question I like to ask is, you know, how did you first enter into the semiconductor industry? You know, what brought you here?
Yeah, it's a long time ago now. So I studied electrical and electronic engineering at university. And actually, the original plan was for me to do a PhD in optical communications. But unfortunately, the year I graduated, the economy wasn't great. It was 1992. And the company that was going to sponsor me for the PhD basically pulled all of their funding. So I spoke to my tutor and said, hey, what do I do now? And he said, quite candidly, you better find a job. So the first job I applied for was with a semiconductor company, an old British semiconductor company called GEC Plessey Semiconductors. And honestly, never looked back since, always worked in the semiconductor industry.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
So how has Indy evolved as a company over the years? You know, what brought you to Indy and what's happened?
Yeah, so previously I was working at ARM, running the automotive business, as you kindly introduced earlier. And I got to know Donald through ARM. Obviously, Indy uses ARM IP. And, you know, talking to Donald, learning more about the company, I was like, wow, this company is doing some really interesting product development in a space that's tough, right? Automotive is not a trivial segment to enter into. So over the years, I kept in touch with Donald. And a couple of years ago, he finally wore me down and said, hey, why don't you come and join us? We're doing a lot of exciting things in this space. You know, really, Indy's core strength is mixed signal and system solution design. And that's allowed the company to really develop very highly integrated, cost-effective solutions for what I kind of refer to as the three automotive megatrends, driver safety and automation, in-cabin user experience, and electrification. So the company's grown, developing product for those three segments. Doubling revenue year over year over the last 3 years. So we just closed $220 million revenue last year. And we're really pleased that Morgan Stanley recently stated that we're the fastest growing semiconductor company over the last 2 years. So that was really great to see. You know, automotive is a tough industry to gain credibility, safety, reliability, supply chain. All of these things are really important. So for an entrant company to make this kind of progress, it's been a great, great validation of our capabilities. And to date, we've shipped over 300 million chips into the automotive segment, and you'll find our product in all of the key global OEMs today.
Well, that is exciting. So yeah. What pain points can auto tech solutions help address? You know, can you give us a few examples of different technologies and their impact?
Yeah, so I mentioned these three mega trends. If we consider kind of driver safety and automation first, you know, the need for these kind of safety systems can't be underestimated. You know, globally, every day, over 3,000 people are dying on our roads. You know, in the US alone, over 100 people a day. And that's just shocking fatality rate. So, you know, yes, regulation can help. Road design can help, education can help, but really it's going to be this practical deployment and widespread deployment of ADAS technology that's really going to help drive these numbers down quickly. You know, and today you see multiple kind of ADAS sensors being deployed in cars, whether it's cameras or radars, LIDARs, ultrasonic. And, you know, they all have their own merits, they all have their own benefits, but they also have shortcomings as well. So, you know, deploying these together in an intelligent way to really give the, you know, build a comprehensive and complementary view of vehicles' environment to really help, you know, inform decision making and taking mitigating actions such as braking or steering or just warning the driver. That's really how deploying these sensors can help. Indy as a company is developing all of these sensor modalities. You know, maybe if you think about vision specifically, the pain point there is, yes, we're seeing so many cameras now, you know, up to 12 cameras being deployed into cars today. But they're still, you know, challenged in low light conditions, or if you've got a very bright, you know, sunlight directly into the car, you'll have dynamic range problems, or even just discerning colors. Today's cameras are still quite challenged at discerning red and amber, for example. So these are real pain points that today's systems are encountering. And these are areas that, you know, Indy specifically is looking to see how we can help. We're working on proprietary image signal processing that's got very wide dynamic range. It's got great low light performance because we're starting to support some of the latest color filter arrays out there. So we think these kind of innovations are really going to help address some of the challenges we're seeing. The other sensor modality, radar, for example, we're all very familiar with using radar, long-range radar in our cars for kind of automatic emergency braking. But we're also starting to see radar coming into the cabin as well for in-cabin monitoring, occupant monitoring systems. And if you operate, you know, some of these radars now can operate at over 120 gigahertz. And by doing that, you can have a very high fidelity of detection. You can detect, say, if you have a child in a car seat in the rear breathing, you can actually detect that through a blanket, for example. So these are areas that we're working on to see how we can bring innovation. Integrating antennas on chip gives you a very small form factor. And then LiDAR, still in its early stages of deployment, but we've developed a single chip coherent detection solution that brings many benefits over its kind of like the pulse-based LiDAR systems, which is what is being deployed today. So, you know, just from an ADAS perspective there, some of the challenges that we're seeing. Similarly, in-cabin electrification are also areas that we're seeing a lot of challenges in automotive semiconductors today. Happy to talk further about those as well.
Yeah, you know, I think automotive is interesting because cars are so personal to us and, you know, we're very attached to them. And now that semiconductors, you know, are proliferating through cars, people really know what semiconductors are and they really get to experience, you know, the technology that we're developing firsthand, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, the COVID crisis was really the first kind of experience people had, you know, when they realized I can't buy cars anymore. There aren't, you know, OEMs are unable to source semiconductors to build cars. And, you know, the mainstream news was starting to cover it. Certainly in the UK, where I was from, semiconductors is not something that's covered as much perhaps in the US or in California. And the semiconductors starting to make mainstream headline news. So I think that the innovation, the transformation that semiconductors have brought to the automotive industry is absolutely phenomenal. You know, I mentioned I started working at GEC Plessy Semiconductors all those years ago. And at the time, no one wanted to work in the automotive business unit because it was kind of seen as the boring, low innovation area of semiconductors. And you fast forward to today, you know, there's so many innovations that are being delivered by semiconductors in this space. It's really quite exciting to see.
Yeah, I agree. So what about autonomous cars? Just an opinion. Do you think we will reach full autonomous automobiles in the near future?
My personal feeling is no, just because the problem is really hard. You know, we take for granted every day we drive our cars. We have such contextual and causal awareness of what's happening on the road, what other people may do. You know, is what I'm seeing on the road a threat or not? And you know, for kind of the machine learning based autonomous systems today, which, if I'm a little unkind, are glorified pattern recognition systems. So, you know, if you haven't trained that system for a particular use case, you know, it can be challenged. Okay, is this danger or not? Should I initiate braking or not? So I think, you know, that the industry will get there, and there's a lot of research being done around, you know, transparent AI and bringing in deterministic decision making to complement the machine learning. But I think full autonomous is some time away. I think we will see limited deployment of autonomous systems, perhaps, you know, in shuttles in a closed environment, or maybe, you know, highway only. But I think the full autonomy that people talk about is still some time away, not before the end of this decade, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think if all of a sudden we just changed every car to a fully autonomous car, we would have much better chances, because mixing non-autonomous cars and autonomous cars, I think that's going to be a challenge. You know, here in San Francisco, you know, in San Francisco, people harass these autonomous cars. And, you know, I just see that being a much more challenge when they're mixed with non-autonomous cars. But anyway, hopefully it will come. So what do you see as the next on the horizon for innovation in the automotive industry?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about these three kind of mega trends, and I think there's still a lot of innovation needed to meet kind of the promise of these safety systems, but also the consumer expectations for their transportation journeys as well. You know, just in the in-cabin user experience space, people immediately think to, okay, it's the infotainment system, but actually, in-cabin user experience is about so much more. You know, lighting, for example, the ambience and the in-cabin lighting, the use of, you know, adaptive driving beam technology for headlights. If you look at things like convenience functions in the car, you know, it's not just about electric seats now. Anything that's a mechanical function is being electrified now to bring more convenience to people. Multiple screens going into the vehicle. How do you ensure low power, seamless networking between the systems and the ECUs? So there's actually still a lot of work to be done. And, you know, power consumption is becoming really critical now, because, you know, as we increasingly move to electrified vehicles, and I know there's been some negative press about EV uptake, but I think that's, you know, we've gone from, say, 70%+ year on year growth of EVs to over 30%. That's still not bad growth, you know. So making sure that electronics is not so power hungry that it drains the battery before you've even moved a mile is going to be really important. So I think, you know, we as semiconductor suppliers need to pay a lot of attention to innovation around power consumption, high levels of integration to drive the costs down. And then, of course, ADAS, I mentioned that these multiple sensors going into the vehicle. You know, what's the right way to integrate these? People often talk about this kind of Uber central compute that's going to be the master brains in the car, and you just have dumb sensors sprinkled around the car. I'm not so sure that's really practical for mass market OEMs. You know, maybe if you're a robo-taxi company or an EV-only company without legacy to support, that might be a way to go. But if you look at big OEMs who have everything from a, you know, 10,000 euro city car to 100,000 euro luxury car to solve, you know, you need an architecture, electrical architecture that's scalable. So we think this kind of zone plus domain compute is the type of architecture that really needs to be perpetuated. And that allows you to have some intelligence at the edge, maybe some pre-processing of sensor data, and then you can send less raw data to the domain controller to make this problem around how do you, you know, process all of this information, something you get your arms around. So, you know, in terms of innovation, I think the current direction that the industry is moving in is the right direction, but there's still a lot that we need to do in terms of sensor fusion, in terms of power consumption, in terms of thermal management.
What about AI's impact in automotive. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, AI has actually been deployed in automotive for quite some time already. And you've seen classical AI algorithms for kind of simple vision or radar sensing, you know, maybe they're just detecting, you know, that there's an object there. But we're now moving to these more kind of advanced machine learning based neural networks, and they're starting to do things like lane detection, specific object detection. So I think AI has been slowly being deployed already, but I think we're now starting to see some interesting developments around that, more complex use cases. We're seeing AI based voice control. People are talking about, you know, the use of large language models to bring vehicle occupants relevant information and entertainment. But I think, you know, as we start to go to this increasing deployment of multimodal ADAS sensing, sensor fusion, you know, especially start to move towards some higher levels of driving automation, I think we need to make sure that we can build trust and confidence, you know, reliability, safety, accuracy of these ML-based AI systems. That's going to be really critical. And as I mentioned, there are people are doing some interesting work and research around, okay, how do I fuse these kind of ML systems with more deterministic, predictive systems to be able to work together. So I think as an industry, we've got to still work very closely together, build confidence both for the regulators that these systems are trustworthy, but also for society as a whole, right? We want to see this mass adoption of these safety systems. We do eventually want to see a world of full autonomy, but it's going to be based on kind of having this trust and credibility around AI.
Yeah, you know, driver safety, as you mentioned, that's my top point, because I would rather not die in my car.
And, absolutely.
So what final question, Chet, what are you most excited about the future of Indy?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the company has had incredible growth over the last few years. You know, in this automotive space, you know, is really interesting in terms of semiconductor content growth. You know, recently, S&P Mobility estimated the automotive semiconductor market, you know, this year is going to be worth about $80 billion. It's going to grow to, you know, nearly double that, 150 by the end of this decade. So there's a huge amount of content growth that's happening in the segment. You know, if you look at companies like KPMG, they're predicting automotive's got the fastest 10-year growth of any semiconductor sector. You know, so for us, for Indy, the excitement is the fact that there is all of this content growing across the vehicle. You know, today there's about $900,000 of average content, semiconductor content per car. That's going to grow, you know, almost 40-50% by the end of the decade. And that's just an average. If you look at EVs, if you look at premium vehicles, they have multiples of this content value per car. So what's exciting for us is, you know, we've got solutions that span all of the three kind of megatrend segments. We think we're really well placed to kind of drive innovative solutions into the market.
Yeah, we do love our cars. Thank you very much, Chet. This is a great conversation. Pleasure meeting you. And hopefully we can talk again and catch up and talk a little bit more about the automotive industry.
Sounds great. Thanks for your time today, Daniel. Really enjoyed it.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.